Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, welcome back, Scott.
Well, thank you. We are talking today about the church.
Yeah.
I suppose if you have the One Right Church, we should talk about it. If you have the wrong church, we should probably talk about it.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Jesus, I think, indicated that his church would be on the offense.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not like the church will have gates and hell.
Right.
We'll
just
prevail.
Hunker down behind the gates.
Yeah, it's really the gates of hell won't prevail. In other words, the church, the church's assault on the gates of hell, will prevail. So,
and how is the church assaulting those gates? What is the church doing?
Well, some of it is that some of it is that Jesus has already rendered Satan and his power and his authority to be ineffective and futile.
Yeah.
So that's some of it. I mean, that's really the guarantee of the success of the church is the work of Jesus on the cross. So that's the gates of hell not prevailing is ultimately or first and foremost the work of Jesus. So I want to give credit where credit's due. The practical ramification of that is that the church should be, I think, mixing it up with people who are on the outside of the church. People who, I mean, just when we're using the language of the gates of hell and of Jesus destroying the power of the devil and things, I mean, the Bible says that the that people have been blinded by the god of this world, or that they have been entrapped by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in sons of disobedience. There, in other words, Satan has authority and is, claim on the lives of people outside the church. And I really do believe that one of the things Jesus came to do was to set people free.
Yeah,
and you see that through his miracles, you see that through his teaching, you see that through the rest of the New Testament, what Paul said God accomplished through Jesus' cross. So over and over and over, you see that the church is in some regard and on the offense to expand the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, I guess I'm talking about it before I say what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the purpose of the church. In other words, Jesus left a church here for something. What did he leave it here for?
Right. And to be clear, we're talking about the big C church. We're not talking about any individual congregation necessarily. There as or maybe we'll talk about both, but we're talking the purpose of the big C church, like all of God's people throughout history. So,
I mean, the purpose of any one local church needs to roll up into the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
So that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Well, you asked me just before we got started, what would I have said was the purpose of the church when I was at Followers, and I couldn't come up with anything. I was stumped by that, and I'm still thinking about it, and I went there for 45 years, and I don't know if I could tell you what Followers thinks the purpose of the church is. I really, it just was never discussed. And it seems like that you should know what the purpose of the church is if you're claiming to be the One Right Church.
So, I would hope so. And I would hope that, you know, people could rattle that off, you know, at our church or wherever. But my thought is there are probably a lot of churches where They don't really talk about why we're here.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about when you're talking about the purpose of the church. Why are we here?
Yeah.
You know, there's, I could say it a different way. I mean, some people have said, well, why didn't, you know, Jesus just like take everybody with him?
Right.
You know, you say, oh, you pray the sinner's prayer, or you say you want to believe in Jesus, and poof, why don't you go to heaven?
Yeah.
In other words, he left us here for a purpose. And what is the reason? And I think that's what we're thinking about, because you're not going to have a good, you're not going to have a good what,
yeah,
or a good how if you don't have a good why.
Yeah.
And the you're going to be goofed up that way. And so the why is really the question that we need to talk about. Why the church? What is the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And I think very simply, we should probably go to the Great Commission, which is at the end of the book of Matthew.
Yeah.
And the Great Commission is a purpose statement. It's the last will and testament of Jesus. And it says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Yeah.
And so I love that that starts with the authority of Jesus,
yeah,
which is the authority that he has been, that he has exercised through the cross and resurrection.
Yeah.
And it's evident that Jesus has all authority now and forevermore. And then you've got him pledging to be with them while they're doing this Great Commission. And he says, "I'll be with you always to the end of the age." So he is with those who do the Great Commission all the way to the end of the age. And so the that would be the simple purpose. Now, there was a movement in the churches that I've been part of to say, well, that's what missionaries do.
Right, right.
You know, missionaries, they go to the ends of the earth. And the reality is, I think that Jesus sent his disciples to go make disciples who would make disciples would make disciples. Yeah. There's no special requirements except that you're a disciple, and disciple is nothing more than a follower of Jesus. And so if you're going to be someone who learns from Jesus or who follows Jesus, what that means to be one of those is that you make other disciples.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of a repeating affair.
Yeah. Well, you said you've talked to people who say that's what missionaries do, so they separate themselves from that. What I've been told multiple times is that Great Commission was only for those people that Jesus directly said that to. That was for his 11 disciples at the time. And so what would you say if somebody said that doesn't apply to me, that was for those called men to do that?
Well, I mean, the first thing that I would say is that the promise of Jesus is to be with those who do this until the end of the age.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if it had been just the little group that was there, they were all but John martyred in the next, 40 or 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, and he could have said, "I'll be with you, you know, at least for the next 40, 50 years while you're doing this."
Right.
In other words, the way the church comes into existence is because those people did do it, and then they passed it on to a next generation who passed it on to the next generation. And that has been the work of the church. The reason I mention missionaries is I think everybody kind of wants to absolve themselves of this responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would like to be a spectator in the church. Right. I want to be the guy who watches somebody else do it, and I'll get some satisfaction out of that, but I won't have the same, I won't feel compelled.
Right.
And that I think is pretty common. I don't think that's, you know, necessarily waiting for one called man. I think anybody would delegate that.
Right.
Which in some respect, it's sad because that's kind of where the action is.
Yeah.
That the really, the richest blessing of the presence of the Lord, among other things, is to be part of making disciples and trusting God to do that. I mean, this is, and you said, so that, well, that's one of my answers is I'm with you to the end of the age. This is an end of the age project for the Church of Jesus Christ. The other thing I would say is that I understand Jesus to be himself in this business.
Yeah.
And he said in John chapter 10, he's talking about being the good shepherd, and he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd.
Yeah.
And what Jesus is saying there is that he takes responsibility to go and get sheep that are not already part of the fold or not part already part of Israel, part of the church. He's going after them, and that's his business. And so what he invites us to do in the Great Commission is to be essentially his partner in that business.
Yeah.
And if we say, you know, I don't want any part of it, or it's for somebody else, then it does, in some respect, it's still Jesus' business.
Right.
And somehow, some way, there has to be this disciple-making work done for those who are not already part of the church, or part of the flock, as it says here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's another example in Acts 1 where Jesus says to more than just the 11
It's a different
disciples.
Group. It's a different group.
He says it's a larger group. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So that's, yeah, that's just, I just don't see how you can read the whole story and come away with thinking that part doesn't apply to me, that part doesn't apply to me, that we want all the good parts to apply to us, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you somehow like chop this up and say this was for only the people who heard him,
right?
Guess what? You've got four gospels in the New Testament that he said to those same people.
Yeah.
And so are you going to take everything about Jesus and say it's only for the people who first heard it?
Right.
That is really a big jump.
Yeah.
And it just kind of sucks the life out of anything you would hope for,
right?
For being part of a Christian religion anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that it's that especially if you put together Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1 and John 10 and Matthew 9, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He wants the people to go out.
Yeah.
And in fact, John 20, 21 says, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. All of this is just more and more indication, I think, that what Jesus has in mind is that his purpose was to go after people.
Yeah.
You know, he was like the in fact, they gave him a hard time about this. They didn't think that he should eat with tax collectors and sinners.
Right.
That was what Jesus did. He would have parties and go to Zacchaeus' house, and everyone would say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And in order to answer those questions, he said, well, you know, the kingdom of heaven's like a woman who lost some coins, and she searched diligently to sweep and find them.
Yeah.
It's like a man who lost who had 90 had 100 sheep and lost one of them, left him in the open field and went to find the one.
Yeah.
And so he's telling the purpose of the church. It's what the kingdom of heaven is like, to go after those who are not here.
Yeah.
So the force of the whole thing is really that the purpose of the church is for, you know, ordinary people like you and me to make disciples who then make disciples who then make disciples, and the church continues.
Yeah. And I think to really do that, you were talking about all the, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You talked about that verse that Jesus says, and I think we have to care about our neighbors in a way that I never knew I had to before. Like, I mean, I'm not I'm making no excuses for that. It, the Bible clearly tells me to love my neighbor as myself, but I was just that, I was that lawyer in that same verse that says, but who is my neighbor? Like trying to find, if I could just say this group of people that I've known my whole life, that I go to church with, these are the only people that I have to love as myself. And I stay like self-focused or inward-focused. We're not looking outward. We're not looking at the harvest. We're, you know, it's very clear. And I don't think we can say that that's not for me to do. That's for somebody else to do. God will call other people to do that. I'm just remembering all of the ways that we used to challenge some of these things, or you'd have to think through or file them away somehow, like that. But then I realized I am just like that guy asking, but who is my neighbor, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to find a way out.
Well, I mean, in some respect, we all want a way out, and it's not, you know, it's churches even that wouldn't claim to be the one right church.
Yeah.
Look for ways out. I just heard yesterday of a church that's going to close, and somebody asked me if we would be interested in planting a church in back into that building or something. And guess what? That requires that we love those neighbors. And that was where the breakdown was there's somehow that the church that it just kind of got turned inward, and there were no outsiders come in, and it got smaller and smaller, people and older, and people died. And so they did this same thing. And what we're talking about is that I think Jesus has a view of a robust community of faith where people are, you know, praying for one another and helping one another reach people who are not yet disciples of Jesus and bring them in.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what the Great Commission is.
Yeah. And so I would encourage people to look at that. I mean, it's the risen Jesus saying some of the last things that he says on earth, and says it with all authority, like you said.
It's not a suggestion.
It's not a or a recommendation. No.
Right. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So it's you know, and you've got, you'll be, you quoted Acts 1:8. Mm-hmm. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And again, the Holy Spirit comes upon every believer. And so, again, it isn't a selective group or a special group that have the Holy Spirit or that are supposed to be these witnesses.
Right.
This is, a universal, ordinary person kind of a commission.
Yeah.
And so I really think that this is an important question. It's one that I want to continue to raise at our church. I want to raise it every place I can, because if we really do think that God is good and that Jesus is lovely, then the natural thing we would want to do would be to include other people in how good God is and how beautiful Jesus is, and go and, you know, bring them in also, like Jesus said. So
yeah,
I hope that this is simple enough, just a Great Commission.
Yeah,
that the church makes disciples who make disciples, or you could, if you like it better, if you want to be more theological, the church exists, or the purpose of the church is to glorify God by making disciples. But again, not by doing nothing, but by going and making disciples who make disciples.
Yeah.
And that brings glory to God. So,
yeah, that's great. Well, we would sing the hymn, and this is one of the ones that we would sing the most, and I don't know if we've ever done it on this podcast.
Well, I've never sung it.
But you've never sang it, no. But we would sing Onward, Christian Soldiers, and it seemed like all the time to me, just really often. But it says, Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. And it just, that just seems like what we're talking about, advancing against the gates of hell with Jesus out front. He, like you said, he has done that. But at the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing.
Nice.
So it was, yeah.
It's a different image, but it is still the purpose of God is to be, you know, the purpose of the church is to be on the move.
Yeah.
Basically.
On
so,
the, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.